Good evening. I'm excited once again to be present with you, to share with you from this book, Catching the Waves of Revival, for by Apostle Jonathan David. I want you to know it is always good to be connected, and I thank God for Apostle Thompson and for LTMA. You know, it's Leroy Thompson's Ministerial Alliance, but the tagline for this ministry is lighting the torches of ministries around the world. That's what God put in his heart, and it's amazing how it lines up with LTMA. Now, I'm going to share this with you, and probably at the beginning of every class, because I want you as apostolic believers and students of the scripture, we don't want to get into using the apostolic in cliche-ish terms. I want you to understand the purpose of the apostolic. So I'm going to be rehearsing that in class after class, even in my own ministry. Before we begin to teach, we'll be rehearsing to the people present the purpose of the apostolic. Let's begin.
The purpose of the apostolic.
The purpose of the apostolic
is to create
a heaven to earth government. Notice this uses the word structure. So the government of God is structured from what? Heaven to earth. We're not trying to train people to go to heaven. See, that's what has been wrong with the church. The church is so busy trying to get people to go to heaven that we're no earthly good. We're supposed to be taking over. Hell cannot prevail against us because we have the keys. What keys? The keys of revelation knowledge, which unlocks the supernatural. Okay, go ahead, daughter.
Which allows the portals.
Which allows, read it from the top again.
The purpose of apostolic.
The purpose of the apostolic
is to create
heaven to earth government, church structure,
which allows the portals
of the supernatural to be opened.
And apostle structures,
heaven to earth government,
so that the portals
of the supernatural
can be opened,
and all those who are properly connected
can enter in and benefit.
Now that's a lot being said, and I want you to meditate Ephesians 4:11 through 16. In addition to that, 1 Corinthians 12:27-28. As we continue down this road. Now, we're going to begin this morning in chapter 3 again, which is revival, and it talks about the nature of the revival fire. So we're going to pick up and we're going to flow from here. Then the next chapter we'll be visiting is chapter number 9 in your books, which would be the times of reformation. Go ahead, daughter. There is a need for a fire.
God is an arsonist.
He sets fire
to hearts
that are ready for him. God sets fires to hearts that are what?
Ready for him.
So if my heart is ready for God, that means I took time to do what? Prepare my heart, right? What are the five P's? Proper planning, prevent, poor performance. So if there's no preparation that's done ahead of time, we can't expect God to do what we're not prepared for. Go ahead.
When we allow God to ignite us,
then the spiritual timing is now.
Revival does not originate with us.
But revival originates from God.
Who is an all-consuming fire. God's overwhelming passion
is to heal the church.
To touch and transform her. to touch and to transform the church.
And to break through every barrier.
And to break through every barrier.
That
the enemy and that men have established and set up.
God initiates a revival.
God is the initiator of all revivals.
Revival
fire
is God's answer
to hell's unholy fire.
The revival fire
is often sparked off
in our time of communion
and fellowship with God.
As we cannot walk
with fire
and not be burned.
You can't walk with God and he don't set you on fire.
I don't care who you are.
I remember as a little boy, my mother used to tell me, don't
get too close to that space heater, son.
You're going to burn your leg.
I still have to burn more
from that space heater.
Why?
Because you stand in front of it
and
for the moment,
right,
you're warm.
Then all of a sudden,
you got to back up a little more.
But
everybody know when you're backed up
too far because
you will holler.
All right.
In the same way.
In the what?
Same way,
people will understand
and know when you
have been
in contact
with the all-consuming
fire of God.
Y'all got it?
Go ahead.
When revival fire
does not
originate from God,
that fire
results in futility
and it brings upon us
God's judgment.
Starting an unholy fire
had drastic consequences
on Saul's life.
His kingdom was taken out of his hands
and given over to King David.
References 1 Samuel 13,
chapter 13,
verses 8 through 14.
A need for
ignitable material.
Now, in the revival fire,
there's always
a need for what?
Ignitable
or combustible
what?
Material.
I mean, without
material, there can be
no fire,
right?
Go ahead.
For the revival fire,
to gather and to gain divine momentum,
we need ignitable materials
to burn on.
God works upon the life
of the church
until the church becomes the vessel
that God can put the flames on,
or put it another way,
set fire to.
Go ahead.
God wants you and I individually to become
so responsive to his touch
and to his spirit.
We are to become highly inflammable
in our response to him.
Now let's talk here
for a second,
because
when we are prepared,
now
I don't know if you know much
about
gasoline and how
fires are started.
You could take
a match and douse
it straight into
gasoline
and the match will
go out,
because
it's not the
gasoline
that's the issue.
It's
the fumes.
See,
for us to
become ignitable
materials,
you listening?
Huh?
We must
be on fire
and giving
off what?
Fumes.
You listening?
Or
embers.
You listening?
Because
our purpose is to
set everything
around
us on fire.
If God
is an arsonist,
then we must
be arsonists.
And
we must have people
in our lives
who are what?
Willing to
embrace the
revival fire.
Go ahead, daughter.
His word and his
spirit. God's word
and his spirit
must so highly excite us.
And his seal consumes us.
We need to be consumed.
By our passion,
notice that,
for God.
Be consumed
by our passion
for God,
not by some
ministry we
call to.
Are you listening?
Paul
and all of his writings
say, Paul,
a servant
of the Lord Jesus
Christ,
called to be
an apostle.
You can't be
so caught up with apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher that you don't understand. All of us are first called to be servants, bond servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot step into any of these fivefold ministry graces without having a touch and an assignment from God. You can't study for this. Go ahead.
And become increasingly overwhelmed.
We must become increasingly overwhelmed
by our consciousness
that He is in us,
that God is in us,
and He wants to move through us. And that God wants to move through us.
We must not put anything, object or excuses,
not any object nor any excuses,
in the way that it will stop us
from becoming ignitable vessels.
We must give ourselves completely to God.
We must, in this apostolic lifestyle, give ourselves what? Completely to who? That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. Notice what Paul says to the church at Thessalonica. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to what? Unto the coming of the Lord. It don't stop there though, right? Because if it stopped there, you would be lost as a goose in a hailstorm. It goes on to say, faithful is He that calleth you. Faithful is He that what? All of us are called of God, called to be saints. You listening? That's our primary call. First of all, called to be saints. Go ahead.
And this will allow His fire.
Faithful is He who calleth us, who also will do it. That's the part I wanted to get to. All right, daughter, back to you.
And this will allow His fire.
And this will allow God's fire
to gain momentum in us. A need to spread.
There's a need for revival fire to spread.
Revival fire has the ability to spread.
When a fire does not catch on,
it will soon die out.
It will soon what? Die out. We have any barbecuers out there? See, I don't know why people go get Kingsford. You know, they get the coal, then they get the lighter fluid, right? That's one level. Because you got to pour a whole cup and let that soak for 30 minutes and hope it's ignitable. Or you can get match light, which is already soaked in the lighter fluid. No need to go get the lighter fluid. All you need for that is a match. I believe God wants us to be match light. Are you listening? Isn't the Holy Spirit a mighty burning fire? All right, thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead, daughter.
For the revival to gain momentum, it must spread sideways. Our task
is to find other ignitable materials
to pass the fire on to.
Y'all got it? See, in this ministry of being apostolic believers, go out and set somebody on fire. It's the best way to put it. You know, I was listening to a song. You know, I'm a Kojic boy. I know a lot of the songs we sing in this modern day movement, you know, we forget. But there's a song that was written by a family called Walter Hawkins way back in the day. This is when I first got saved. And the name of the song was Follow Me. Follow me. If you want some peace of mind, if you want some joy divine, follow me. Reminded me of the commercial from Capital One. Y'all remember that credit card commercial? What's in your wallet? Well, I want to know what's in you. Because if you are an ignitable, flammable coal, you should be able to light somebody else on fire for the things of God. Your enthusiasm, watch this, for God, not for His stuff, for Him. How many of you can say God's been good to me? God's goodness. See, God's goodness is running after me. Go ahead, Donna.
We must not become self-indulgent.
We must not become self-indulgent
with the fire.
With the fire.
But desire it to spread.
But we must desire that the fire be spread.
Further than us.
Farther than us.
When the fire spreads.
When the fire spreads.
To our lives.
Churches and cities.
It becomes uncontrollable.
It becomes uncontrollable.
And it won't be easy.
And it will not be easy.
For the enemy and wicked men
to destroy it. Now, if you are up on world events, we know that in Maui, there was a fire that broke out. And, you know, we pray and lift those individuals up. They lost everything. But when they begin to talk about that fire, to show you how rapidly it was moving, it was moving. It had tornadic. You understand what that means? Fire like a whirlwind. Are you listening? But it was moving a mile a minute. Could you imagine a fire moving so fast? You listening? People had to get out of their cars and run and jump in the ocean. Are you listening? Now, God can take a tragedy, you listening, and show you something supernatural. What when my people become? Tornadic fire. The only one gonna be running and jumping away is the enemy. Oh, that's okay. Y'all go ahead. Stay with world news tonight. I'm going on. Go ahead.
Those on whom the revival fire falls.
Those on whom the revival fire falls.
Are responsible.
They are responsible.
To maintain the fire.
To maintain the fire.
Increase its momentum. And spread it as far as possible.
And to spread the revival fire as far as possible.
We must seek God's face.
We must seek God's face.
To find ways. To spread and propagate the revival.
To spread and to propagate the revival fire.
A need to be watched.
Now, all fires have a need to be what? Watched. Go ahead.
Revival fire
needs to be watched.
An unwatched fire
is an unmarked fire.
Leaders
that are in this present modern day revival
need to see that the fire is not misused
and abused. Now, why did I say we always talk about a revival that's coming, right? Right? See, y'all, I'm going to see if you're paying attention in class. Just because you read the book, you ain't going to get everything I'm going to say to you straight out the book. Because God talks to me. All right? Because I'm about to open up your eye. It's in the book. But sometimes it's how we process information. I taught you in the first class that all revivals are based upon the principle of what? Continuance. So if the revivals are based upon the principle of continuance, revival fire never go out. You just need to know how to tap in. Did you catch it? See, God is an eternal, all-consuming fire. He don't burn out. He burns up. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I wish I had somebody who was going with me. Go ahead, daughter.
The church needs to be taught.
The church needs to be taught. On how to flow with the Spirit of God.
We need to watch the fire. So that the fire will not die down. But will spread what? Wide.
Now I'm a master barbecue. Spread widely. Now y'all know when you're barbecuing, whether you have match light or the regular Kingsford with the lighter fluid, you still got to pile them in a what? You put them in a pyramid. I can tell none of y'all on barbecue up here. I hope you listening to me online. Yeah, okay. You know. So you have to put them in a pile. You listening? But when they all catch on fire in the pile, it's not time to cook yet. You want to know why? All the fumes are not out. You can mess up all of your stuff. Somebody said we should be eating plant-based stuff. Well, put your plants on it. Same, but listen, I'm trying to help y'all. Now listen to what I'm about to say. When all of the coals are on fire. You can literally see the fire operating on the inside of the coal. You listening? But they're not all white and ashed over. So what do you have to do? You have to take the pile and spread it on out. Why? So everything could be cooked evenly. Well, that's what God want to do. Cook you evenly. Boy, y'all, it's okay. Go ahead, daughter.
We need to watch the fire.
We need to watch the fire.
To make sure
it is fulfilling the eternal purposes of God.
We must direct the fire
until the fire hits the bullseye
of the purpose of God. A need to ensure
individual fire.
In revival.
The whole community is on fire.
Everybody is moving. In the same direction. And is drawn into the same flow
of God's anointing.
When the corporate anointing
is increasing
in a meeting,
it is necessary
to make sure
everyone is responding
to the moving of the Holy Spirit.
Every believing heart
needs to be assured of God's
authentic manifestation.
There is no substitute
for apostolic teaching. There's what? No substitute for what? I think one of the errors of the modern day church is that we got away from apostolic government. I think it's in Acts 4:33. Somebody get that for me. Let me see if that's it. If not, it talks about, and they all continued steadfastly. That might be Acts 2:42 up there somewhere. Come on, children. You got a Bible. It's Acts 2:42. Thank you, son. What it says.
And they continued steadfastly.
Notice, in who? And whose doctrine? The pastor doctrine, the prophet doctrine, the evangelist doctrine, the teacher doctrine. Why would God put in his word, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? Because the apostles were responsible, watch this, for the established order of God. That's what doctrine is. What is doctrine? God's established order. In God's established order, nobody can come unestablish it. Did you hear what I said? Nobody can do that. That's why it's important for all of the other gifts to connect to apostolic government so that the portals of the supernatural can become open to what? All. But in order for it to become open to all, there must be the divine lineup, divine ranks, and divine flow. You got it? The apostle cannot be despised. If God is still establishing churches today, and he is, then the need for apostles is greater today than it was even in Jesus' day. Because we have too many churches that are established on what? Pet doctrine. That's P-E-T, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. But in Ephesians 2:20, the scriptures teach that the whole kingdom of God is built up on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So apostles are responsible for establishing doctrine in the church. What we believe, God's established order. And God say, I'm God and I don't change. I change not. That's just not talking about tithes. That's talking about who God is. God's not changing because the world change. God say, I change not. Return unto me, I'll return unto you. Draw nigh unto me, I draw nigh unto you. I make the rules, you follow them. It's amazing. This country is based upon the rule of law. Is that right? All the lawmakers in Washington, D.C., the three different branches of government, executive, legislative, and judicial, right? They tried to mimic the Godhead. But the Godhead is one. They ain't fighting every day. They're not trying to shut the government down, and they keep a paycheck. Now, how about that? They're going to shut the government down. The other workers don't get paid, but they vote to keep themselves paid. Do you think Americans have any sense? Okay, don't bring that. I'm just trying to help you apostolically to get you out of that government, to get you in the right government. Are you listening? God didn't call us to be Republicans, independents, and Democrats. He called us to be theocrats, to enforce the kingdom of God. You listening? Okay, thank you for your enthusiasm. Don't get mad. Get a sandwich bag. Go ahead.
Every experience
can be clarified in scriptures
to remove
all doubts
and fears.
We must be sensitive to lead each individual
deeper into God
and into the supernatural.
When God releases the physical manifestations
of the Holy Spirit,
we need to lead them deeper
into his purposes.
When each individual fire
is burning strong,
it adds to the intensity
of the corporate anointing.
Go ahead.
A need to activate the fire.
A revival fire
needs materials
that acts as a what?
Catalyst. That means it's going to propagate, push it forward. Go ahead.
That can activate the fire
until it becomes
an engulfing flame.
The book of Acts
records the catalyst
as being men
who were moved by the Holy Spirit.
A yielded revivalist
causes the revival
to explode.
Revivalists
are carriers of the revival fire.
That's why I took you to chapter 18 so you can know where we are.
We're in the times of the revivalists.
What did I say?
We're in the times.
Y'all want to know how long we've been in the times of the revivalists?
Huh?
Huh?
Thank you for your enthusiasm. There was no greater than who?
The master.
Are you listening?
But it started since the beginning of time.
God always found a man that he could use.
It was God's purpose always to reproduce men and women,
watch this statement,
after his kind.
And so when all creation got out of whack,
God still said,
I still have people in the earth realm who will be after my kind.
All right, go ahead, daughter.
Revivalists
are God's chosen
instruments. Revivalists are God's chosen instruments
to help propagate the revival.
To propagate the revival fire.
To gain momentum.
They enlarge the flames.
By their prophetic preaching.
And ministry of signs,
wonders, and miracles.
Some ministries
can fan the flames of revival
into greater intensity.
God explodes on the scene of humanity
through the lives of these men.
Signs, wonders, and miracles
are powerfully demonstrated.
The revival fire
must gain momentum
in our lands,
and we have that responsibility
to lead these revival flames
into the field
of the harvest of souls.
Come on.
Let's go.
Just keep reading.
We're gonna do chapter number 17,
times of Reformation.
Okay,
but I want to make this statement before we begin that chapter. Go ahead. No, you don't have to make that from the beginning. Just start with the notes that she, that Ms. Bax gave you concerning introducing the seven major New Testament revivals.
The Last Day Revival.
The Last Day Revival is going to be established
in seven progressive stages.
These stages
will lay
in our lives a lasting foundation
for an ongoing revival
that will climax
with the return
of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We need to realize
that the last day revival
is launched from who?
The church. Say the church.
Church.
Without the church, there's no revival. Jesus is the head of the church, which is what? His body. Go ahead.
Which has become strong and empowered.
Which have become strong and empowered.
For a divine attack. To change and reform society.
To change and to what? Reform society. Get the definition of reform. Go ahead. Somebody get it, and let's get to chapter number what? 17 times of what? Reformation. Now, I want you to pay attention here. We started with chapter 18, right? We already went to the times of the revivalists. But understand that since revival is based upon what? The principle of continuance, right? When God releases the revivalists, he already then went through these stages. Are you listening? Preparation. So the first stage of revival is times of revelation. Times of revelation. That's number one. Number two, times of repentance. Number three, times of refreshing. Number four, times of revealing. Number five, times of restoration. Number six, times of reformation. And finally, times of the revivalists. Are you listening? Now, since these revivals are based upon the principle of what? Continuance. They're always like a spinning top. Because you got to keep having revivalists to pop out. God, there's no generation where God has not had a revivalist. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Good God Almighty. Go ahead.
The times of reformation.
Has to do with reforming
the structure,
purpose and beliefs,
systems of the church.
The new wine will require a new wineskin, a new vessels. You listening? Now, before you finish reading, what's the definition of reformation? To make changes
in something.
Typically a social,
political,
or economic institution,
or practice,
in order to improve it,
to bring about a changing
in someone
so that they are no longer
behave in an immoral,
criminal,
or self-destructive manner. That's what reformation is about. Go ahead, daughter.
There's going to be
a restoration
of apostolic structure
in church government.
Apostolic wisdom
is being released upon the church
to help the church become more committed
to eternal values.
And purposes,
not temporary, eternal values and purposes.
The unseen is eternal.
Everything you're going through is temporary.
You are functioning from an eternal kingdom.
You listening?
An eternal government.
Go ahead, daughter.
God's wisdom
is building the church
to become a formidable fortress
made impregnable
to satanic invasion.
The times of reformation
has to do with the reforming society around
us. Of society around us. The church cannot be like the world. I know y'all ain't gonna like this. Church folk are really becoming more like the world.
Right.
They are desiring more of the world.
Yeah.
They want to go out and blend in. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. We want to blend in with the crowd. Well, how come you can go blend in with them that they're not trying to blend in over here? It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Quit lying. Go ahead.
The revival brings
God's consciousness
upon the society.
This creates an awareness
of God
and his requirements
upon mankind.
When the revival breaks out
upon the society.
Crime rates drop
in that society.
Moral values
are upheld
as iron bars,
brothels
and clubs
are seen closing down.
Oh Lord, they opening up too fast. Well, if they opening up too fast and they're circulating, what does that mean? The church is what? What does that mean? The church is not what? Doing its job. Thank you for your enthusiasm. It's good to talk about everybody else. I said the church. The purpose of the church is so that hell can't prevail against it. I live in the city of New Orleans. Katrina hit in the year of 2005, August 29, 2005. Some religious jargon was going around. Some of the word Katrina means to purify. So God sent Katrina to purify New Orleans. Ink, wrong answer. I'm a man of God. God spoke to me and say, if Katrina was meant to purify New Orleans, then I missed. Because the highest place in New Orleans is the French Quarter. And it was open for 24 hours. And they still down there partying. And they still have decadence. And so it's not until the church take its place that all of that can be shut down.
Right.
But if the church want to be on Bourbon Street and drink and sip and dip and tip. Shata. Nobody won't talk now. Sasha and Asha. What? Don't get me started. Lord, have mercy. Go ahead.
Marriage is held in honor.
What? No, what?
Marriage.
What's held in honor?
Marriage.
Folk today don't want to get married. They want the milk for free. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm not trying to be, what's that word? Vulgar. I'm trying to show you we live in a society where people don't want papers no more. Woman, let me tell you something. If he don't have papers on you, he not going to take care of you. Ain't even some of them who do not going to take care of you if you don't know who you are in the kingdom. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Go ahead.
And family values are restored.
Family values in Reformation, times of Reformation are restored. Go ahead.
Hollywood standards
are opposed.
And they are no longer held
as the normal standard.
Dramatic changes in lives. Where sinners are transformed
into holy saints.
Much community work.
And projects.
Get organized.
And people begin to relate.
And help each other. With their respective job.
Now, we're talking about times of Reformation. I'm telling you right now, one of the greatest reformations we can talk about is this leader of this school of ministry. A man who told us, look, he didn't pay attention in school. He was too busy looking at the girls. Now, y'all quiet. You must not know his testimony. He said, I was a street runner. He said, the day I got saved, I came in from partying like Lionel Richie all night long. And I came in and I was invited to go to church and I had it in my mind that I'm just going to go there and get this over with and leave. And he said, this Baptist preacher didn't look like much, but he started preaching. And he said, he gave the altar call. He said, before he knew it, his hand went up and he was at the altar. God so drastically changed his life that none of his friends know him today because of the drastic change from a street runner to an apostle.
Amen.
Are you listening? Paid no attention in school. Are you listening? Huh? But own more than the average intelligent person. Well, we'll catch you next week. Enjoy your evening.